All right, we'll say good morning. First of all, a yasher koach to Ari for the Mizonos this morning, and of course, a yasher koach always, you know, those of you who are regular know, but those who are, I was going to say irregular, but no one here is irregular, chas v'shalom, is Ari Baruch Hashem takes care of the coffee every morning, and in his absence, Hal took care of it. Baruch Hashem, it's just a good opportunity to make your tov. We come in every morning, take a nice cup of coffee on a legal holiday, a little Mizonos, but recognize that Baruch Hashem, because of guys like Ari, that we have the opportunity to enhance our learning each and every day. So on behalf of the Shir, Yashir Kalach. Yes. Who's on call? Okay, also our Shir today is dedicated Le'ili Nishmas Shoshana Lerner's uncle, Avram Eliezer Ben Yeshaya Shlomo, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama has an aliyah. All right, so we'll say we left off on Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis, last two lines from the bottom. So again, now we spent the last couple of days with some beautiful Agadah and Matan Torah. Now it's back to business. So remember again, the Mishnah resumed the discussion of Hotzah, specifically what the shear for Hotzah is for different items. So the Mishnah says the following, the last two lines of the Gemara, Tavlin Kedela Tabel Beit Zakalo, that if you carry spices, you're chayiv if you carry enough spices to go ahead and Tabel, literally to spice up, Beit Zakalo, an easily spiced egg. And Rashi already pointed out in the Mishnah that this is referring to a chicken's egg. So the Gemara says, Orminhu. Gemara quotes a brayta that seems to contradict this. Tavlin, shnayin v'gimel shemos mimin echad, o shlosha minin v'shem echad. So the Gemara quotes a very interesting brayta. If you have two different cases, if you have tavlin, spices, shnayin v'gimel shemos, they have two or three different names, but mimin echad, but are of the same species. So for example, look at Rashi. So Rashi says, or minu. Actually, look at the next Rashi. Beis v'gimel shemos. Pilpel, lavan, shachar, aruch. So, for example, let's say you have black pepper, white pepper, long pepper. This is not referring to the ground up. This is referring to the actual vegetable itself. All these different types of peppers. The common denominator is what?
Pepper.
They're all called pepper. So we'll say. So the Bryce that I have to tell about the following situation over here. Let's say you have three different spices that are all of the same min, all of the same species, and let's say they're klal yakarim. Let's say again, there's some kind of forbidden item. So the question is, do they combine to go ahead and form a shear of Isser or not? So the Gemara says, or osh mishlosha minin b'shem echa. Now look at Rashi, go ahead, he says, o afilu min gimel minin. Or even if there are three different types of spices, v'hein shem echa. It's interesting, Rashi over here apparently didn't originally have the girsa of shem echa. So case number one is where you have three different spices, all of the same species. And second case is where you actually have three different spices. So how do I know that halacha lemaisa, they could all go ahead and combine to form a shear of iser? So the Gemara says, asurin their aser, umitztarfim ze'im ze'im, and halacha lemaisa, they could actually go ahead and form a shear of iser together. So we'll say, whether you have three different types of items that are all the same species, or even three different types of spices, they can all form together to form a shear of iser. The Gemara says, amr chizkiya, and Chizkiya said that type of tzaddik, b'mine misika shanu. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about when these spices were there in order to go ahead and contribute flavor to the particular item that's being cooked. Says Rashi, b'mine misika, askinon, shekulon mine misikas kedera. All of these items are introduced in order to add flavor to the pot. Aval min acher, ein mitztarif, umasnisin lo maflik. So what's interesting about this is the fine. Why is Gemara quoting this as a kasha? Because they both say, our idea, or the Mishnah stated, that the amount of tavlin that you're chayiv to go ahead and, the amount of tavlin that you would be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, is the amount that it would take to spice a Beit Zakalo. So it's interesting that the Gemara is quoting over here is that here, the Braisa seems to be indicating that in order for you to be chayiv on Hotzah for spices, it has to be mine misika. It has to be items that introduce new flavor into the food that's being cooked. And yet our Mishnah didn't make that statement. So it seems to be a contradiction between the criteria for spices in the Braisa versus the criteria for spices in the Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, Taimba, dechazu lemate kesagideir. The reason why you're chayiv in this case of the rice is because the spices have the ability to enhance the flavor of the item being cooked. Halav hachi lo. But we can infer from this that if the spices did not have the ability to add flavor to the item being cooked, then halacha lemaisi, you would not be chayiv. This contradicts our Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, hachinami chazu lemateik, to which the Gemara gives a very simple answer, that no, here also the criteria is actually the same, that the tavlin in the Mishnah are also being introduced in order to contribute flavor to the item being cooked. And in fact, the way to read the Mishnah is that the amount of spices that you are chayiv for carrying out on Shabbos is the amount of spices necessary to introduce flavor into an easily cooked egg. Okay. Klipe egozim, klipe rimonim, sotis pua kedei letzba beget katam. So again, the next case in the Mishnah was that if you have shells of nuts or shells of pomegranates or these skins of pomegranates, sotis is safflower, pua is madder, M-A-D-D-E-R, kedei letzba beget katam. You're chayiv for carrying any of these types of herbs if you carry enough to go ahead and dye a small piece of cloth. Beged katan. I shouldn't say small piece of cloth. Remember, the Mishnah spoke this out. The Mishnah said, this is beged katan api safka. This is the little piece of cloth that women apparently wore on top of their hats, on top of their head covering. Says the Gemara, or mini. So the Gemara raises a kasha. Hamotzi samanim shruyim. If a person goes ahead and carries out, now samanim shruyim means samanim are herbs. Shruyim means they were soaked in water. Soaked in water. Now, it doesn't have to mean that they're presently soaking in water. It means they were already soaked in water. So if a person goes in and carries out samanim shruyim, so what? How much are you chayiv? Or also remember, the operative concept in all of these mishnayos is that you're only chayiv for otzah if you carry out an item of significance. But significance is not objective. I'm saying it's not objective in that there's one shear for everything. It's subjective in accordance with the particular item. So how much is considered to be a significant amount of soaked herbs? So the Gemara says, kedei litzpoa bahem, dugma li'ira, in order to go ahead and color or dye dugma li'ira. Now, what dugma li'ira? We actually saw this earlier. Dugma li'ira, ma'at tsemer, I'm greeting Rashi, hushuhu kumin dugma, shemara hatsevela balabayis, kazet tachpots, o kazet, v'hu kedei litin bi'ira shalkana shalgardi, b'shi'ura mu'at. So, dugma li'ira means two things. On the most basic level, what it refers to, says Rashi, was dyers, I don't know if that's the right word for a person who dyes stuff. Dyers, good. Dyers. So a dyer used to have like a color palette. Oh, I'm sorry?
Dyers with a Y.
Dyers with a Y. Right, there are plenty of the other kind of dyers. Right. So dyers with a no skill required. Right. So also with a Y. So they have like a color palette. A color palette. So if I wanted to have my wool dye, so what would happen? So the dyer would come and he would show me all the different possibilities. So therefore the Gemara says that the minimum amount of dye, of soaked herbs, that you're chayiv for carrying on Shabbos would be enough to make one of those color samples. Enough to dye the little piece of wool that the dyer would go ahead and use to show a sample of that particular color. Rashi also points out over here that also happens to be the same shear. We also saw that the other shear was that the weavers would often keep their needles and their thread in a particular receptacle, and they'd put a little piece of fabric over it to keep the thread from unraveling. So the point of also that the Gemara is making over here is this is less than our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said that halacha lemaisa, you're only chayiv for carrying the amount of herbs necessary to dye the piece of cloth that goes on top of a woman's hat. Now what happens is the Braisa says that if you're carrying out soaked herbs, you're only chayiv for carrying the amount that it takes to make that little small color sample that the dyer would show prospective customers. Rashi points out that little color sample is a smaller shear than our Mishnah. So which one is it? Is it the Mishnah shear? Is it the Braisa shear? To which the Gemara says, Ha'itmar lo amar avnachim amar barabua, lefi she'ein adam toreach lishros samemanim litzboa bahen dugma li'ira. Oh, Shah Baravua gives a very interesting answer. He says, you're not comparing similar items. They're apples and oranges. The Mishnah is talking about raw herbs. The Bryce is talking about soaked herbs. When it comes to raw herbs, so remember, I will say, when people soak herbs to produce dye, you're not just soaking a couple of herbs to make a little bit of dye. You know, im kvar as kvar, if you're doing it, then you do it in a larger batch. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. A person would not begin the process of soaking herbs to produce dye, unless, of course, they're ready to produce at least enough dye to color the cloth that goes on top of a woman's hat. once the herbs ha'ori have already been soaked and are ready to produce dye, then you would be chayiv for otzah, even a smaller shear, enough just to go ahead and color the little fabric example that a dyer shows his prospective customers. Next, meiraglai. So we'll remember the Mishnah then quoted a whole list of items that apparently were used as like detergents, as cleaning agents. It's interestingly enough, one of them was urine. Meiraglayim. So the Gemara says Tana meiraglayim ad ben mem yom. So obviously the Gemara says over here that the cleaning ability of urine only occurs when? If it's at least 40 days old. So only after it's 40 days old, then it has, I don't know, whatever. Tried it home. Let me know what happens. Right? So it has some kind of bleaching out, whatever it is. It works after 40 days. Good. Neser. So Neser, remember we said yesterday was natron. So the Gemara says it's a naturally forming sodium bicarbonate. So the Gemara says Neser, Tana Neser Alexandris, Velo Neser Anpantri. So the Gemara just points out that it wasn't Neser from anywhere. It was Dafka Alexandrian Neser, and not Neser from anywhere else. Okay. Boris, Amar Rav Yehuda, Zechol. Rav Yehuda says Boris is Chol. Boris is sand. Again, these are all items used as detergents. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya, Vahaboris, Vahachol. But that can't be. Because the Braisa quotes elsewhere, Boris and Chol, which clearly indicate to us what? That Boris is not Chol. Right? Two different things. Ela, my Boris. So what is Boris? Kabrisa. Look at Rashi. Kabrisa, Gafris, sulfur. Sulfur. So Boris is sulfur. Mesve, so the Gemara raises a kasha. Do I quote the Braisa that says, Hosifa Alein. The Braisa is actually a very interesting statement. The Gemara is talking about over here, look at Rashi, Hosifa Alein Me'inyan Shvius. That we know that there are certain restrictions as to what you're permitted to go ahead and cultivate on the Shemitah year. So Chazal added on certain additional restrictions, meaning added on certain things that under normal circumstances would not have been governed by the restrictions of Shemitah, but added these items onto the restrictions of Shemitah. So the Gemara says, for example, Hosifu alei in the following. Ha-chalbitzin. So chalbitzin is a type of weed, but apparently what was unique about this weed is it had thistles on it. Okay? So this type of weed, ha-li'inun, the li'inun. So the li'inun is wormwood. Ha-boris, the ha-ol. Ol is aloe. Hello. So these particular items, which are plants, not produce-producing plants, but because each of them was used for a particular different reason, Chazal included them in the group of items that are prohibited to be used on Shemitah, to be worked on Shemitah. So Rav Osei says the Gemara, V'isak adaitcha kabrisa. Now, if you're going to tell me that Boris is sulfur, kabrisa mi'isa b'shvi'is, are there any Shemitah restrictions when it comes to sulfur? V'hatnan, we learn, Zeaklal, kol sheyesh lo ikar, yesh lo shvius. V'she'ein lo ikar, ein lo shvius. The only way you could possibly come under the umbrella of Shemitah restrictions is if what? Is if you have roots. If you don't, this is not like some kind of like hashkafic idea. This is a botanical idea, right? This is, if you're not a plant, then you can't be governed by Shemitah. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me then that Boris is sulfur, then sulfur clearly does not have roots, then why would sulfur be included in the restrictions on Shemitah? To which the Gemara says the following, Elo, my Boris, Allah. So what is Boris? Boris is aloe. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, Va'atam, but we just said above, Ha-Boris Va'Allah. But we just said before, we mentioned Boris right next to aloe, which would seem to indicate that Boris is not aloe. Elo, Trey Gavni Allah. Two different species or two different types of aloe. So Boris is one type of aloe, Allah is another type of aloe. Okay. Kimula. What is kimula? So again, Abbas, I remember this is another one of the items that was mentioned in the Mishnah as a detergent-like item. So what is kimula? Amar Rav Yehuda, shlufdutz. Shlufdutz. Good, hopefully that's helpful for you, right? Shlufdutz. I also understand when Rav Yehuda was saying this, because again, obviously, in the vernacular, they knew what this meant. It sounds more Yiddish than anything else. Right, have a good shlufdutz. Okay, so good. So shlufdutz. Ashlig. What's ashlig? Again, the last of the detergents. Amar Shmuel. Sha'altinu l'chom d'chusei yama. So Shmuel said, I asked all the people who travel by sea. I asked the sailors, the seafarers. Now, why is he asking the seafarers? Because they're both like, right, they go all over. they go all over. So what's interesting is that so Rabbi Yehuda said, excuse me, Shmuel said, I asked them, what is this ashlik? What is this ashlik? Va'amruli, and they said to me, it's something called Shonano. Right? Shonano Shme. So Shonano is its name. It's called Shonano. And where is it? Umishtakach Binukva de Marginisa. You can often find it in the holes inside of pearls. Umaf gifle biramza de parzala. And the only way to extract it is to go ahead and use a pointed iron instrument. So it's this item found on the inside of pearls. Okay? Fine, says the Mishnah. But we'll say, continuing still on the same theme, in terms of different items and how much you're chayiv for carrying of each of these items. Palpeles, if you're carrying a palpeles, bepashtos means a pepper. Yes?
You took out less and you're chayiv the rabbanah, right?
Correct. That is correct. Palpeles, if you carry, now palpeles is pepper. So the Mishnah says, kol shu, you're chayiv for carrying any amount. Now Rashi points out over something very interesting. Palpeles kol shu, ve'eino pilpal shalanu. So Rashi says, this is not referring to our pepper. U'bigimara mefarish kol shuhu l'may chazi. So interesting, the reason Rashi says this is not our pepper is because we've already seen before that the shear for our pepper, the shear for food items in general, is grogeris, right? Is the size of a dried date. So clearly what we're going to see over here is these are the items mentioned in the Mishnah here, ties in well with our next shear, had some kind of medicinal value. Some type of medicinal purpose. So because of that, you were chayiv for carrying them out even in a smaller shear. So Rashi's pointing out, this is not our pepper.
It's not a spice.
Now, I'll say something interesting. Clearly, again, I would venture to say, the Mishnah's pepper was never Rashi's pepper, right? Because, I don't know the peppers that Rashi had versus the peppers that came out of the Mishnah, but Rashi must have felt that at least the palpulin referred to over here resembled enough the peppers that he knew, but this palpeles, he says, is not our peppers. Itran is tar. Each one is tired. Kol shu, so you're chayiv for carrying any amount. We'll discuss again what these items are used for. Mine besamim, spices. Umine matachos, and metals. Kol shehen, you're chayiv for carrying out any amount. Any amount. Rashi points out over here. Mine besamim kol shehen, l'reach tov. We're talking about, again, besamim that are used to produce good scent. Good scent. So again, if you have any amount of the sun that are able to produce good scent, you're chayiv for that. Or matachos, you see what matachos, metals can be used for. Me'avne, u'mini matachos koshe. Me'avne ha-mizbeach, excuse me, koshe me'avne ha-mizbeach, u'me'afar ha-mizbeach. So to you, I'm sorry, I shouldn't read that. Mini matachos, u'mini koshe, me'avne ha-mizbeach, u'me'afar ha-mizbeach. Similarly, if you carry out from the stones on the mizbeach, last year of stones on the mizbeach, or from the dirt of the mizbeach, you are chayiv for carrying out any amount as well. Mekek svarim, umekek matbachoseihem kol shehu. Now here's what's interesting. Look at Rashi. Mekek svarim. We'll see actually that mekek actually refers to a worm. So Rashi points out over here, mekek svarim is achilas tolas, ocheles hasvarim, umerakvan, ushmo mekek. So there's a type of worm that if it gets into the parchment, causes the parchment to rot. And therefore, again, the rotted parchment is called mekek svarim, or mekek matbechoseh means the rotted coverings. All of these items, if you carry out any amount of it on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Why? Shematznien osan legonzon. Because I will say, since what do you do with the rotted svarim and the rotted covers? Gnisa, you put them away, right? You store them away. So because of that, and you would store away any amount, because of that, any amount is considered to be chashiv, and therefore, if you carry out any amount, you're chayiv on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Shematzni osel in gonzon, shekol dover kodesh ta'un gniza. Rashi points out because any dover kodesh requires gniza, requires storing away. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Huda says, af hamotzi misham shev odozora kol shu. Even one who carries out idolatry is interesting. If you carry out any little bit of idolatry on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Why? Shene'emar, v'lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherim. Because when the Torah discusses the idea that the Jews were not permitted to go ahead and take any amount of the cherem, of the spoils, which also refer to items of avodah zarah, it says mu'uma. It says any amount. Mu'uma means any little bit. So the Gemara is saying, the Mishnah is saying, you see from here that what? That when it comes to Avodah Zarah, any little bit is considered to be chashuv. And therefore, even if you were to carry out any little bit, and also remember, this ties into our sugya before, if you remember, we spoke about what happens if you have a piece of Avodah Zarah. But remember again, the sugya there was related to what? Was it Tumah? So remember, we pointed out the shayla there was, does a piece of Avodah Zarah convey Tumas Avodah Zarah? But the Mishnah was not a din in Tumah. This is a din in Chashivus. What the Gemara is saying over here is that even a little bit of Avodah Zarah has Avodah Zarah Chashivus. And therefore, if you carried it out, you would be Chayiv. Says the Gemara. Now, we'll say, so now, the way the Mishnah started out is for all, a list of all these items that if you carry out even a little bit of it, you are Chayiv. You are Chayiv. So says the Gemara. So now the question becomes, you're only chayiv for something, carrying something, if it's considered to be a chashiv amount. So the shayla now is, all of these things that are chayiv for kosher, carrying any amount, well, what are they usable for? Pilpelas. Tovelas kosher ma'amaychaz, yo. What good is this? Any little bit of pepper, what does it accomplish? To which the Gemara says, l'rea chapeh. You know what it's good for? Bad breath. Bad breath. And apparently, again, even a little bit of pilpel is good for bad breath. Itron, kolshu, if you carry out any little bit of tar, right? So you're chayiv for that. So what does that do? This is very interesting. L'maychazio, what is it helpful for? L'tzilchisa. Now what's tzilchisa? Rashi says, ke'ev chatzi harosh. Ke'ev chatzi harosh. I'm sorry? A migraine. So apparently, now, again, I'm assuming they're not ingesting this. I'm assuming they must have just been applying it on the head. So apparently, again, a little bit of tar is very helpful for a migraine as well. Whatever it is. Mine b'sam kol shein. Sai, if you have b'samim, right? If you have any amount of b'samim, you're chayiv for that. Tan rabbanon. Hamotzi reach ra kol shu. If you have an item that produces bad odor, you're chayiv for carrying any amount of that. Now we'll say, why is this important? It's very interesting. Reach ra, Rashi says, Shemeashanin bahen cholin vitinokos kigon chiltis. So they would often go ahead and burn foul-smelling incense around people who were ill and around babies. Why? Lahavriach me'olav mazikin. Apparently, in order to go ahead and drive away shadim or other mazikin, so it was thought that if you burn foul-smelling items, it drives away people also. Right? It drives away everyone. Right? So the idea is, so therefore the Gemara says, therefore it's chashiv, any amount of foul-smelling item that can produce negative aroma would also be chayiv on Shabbos for carrying out that small shear. Shemen tov, koshu, so too if you have good-smelling oil, you are chayiv for carrying out any amount. Argamon, Koshu, carrying out any amount of argamon, you're also chayiv. Look at Rashi, argamon. Tseva shetsovin bo argamon. So obviously the argamon over here refers to the dye in which it's purple dye. Purple dye that was used to create purple wool. V'taymalo isparish. The reason is not clear, says Rashi. V'linira shegam huroi lahariach. That apparently, again, argamon dye also had a very pleasant smell. Ubesulas haveret achas. It's actually besulas haveret. Rashi says this: Ola shalveret bachar achas. You're also chayiv for carrying out one rose petal on Shabbos. So apparently, because again, even one rose petal has a very pleasing aroma, you're chayiv for carrying out one rose petal on Shabbos. Okay. Mini matachos kol shehin. If you carry out any amount of metal, you're chayiv on Shabbos. L'may chazu. So what can you do with one little piece of metal? So the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Shekein Roi Laso Simenu Darban Katan. You could always make with it a small goad. A small goad, right? So a goad is just a piece of metal with a little bit of a sharp tip that you would use to goad, right? That you would use to go ahead and move the animals. So apparently even a very small piece of metal you could fashion into a small piece of gold. A small goad. Tan Rabbanan. Ha'omer, now the Gemara spoke about metal, the Gemara just brings up another case. Ha'omer harei alai barzel. Let's say a person says, I take upon myself a neder to give barzel, to go ahead and give metal, lebedek habayis, Rashi says. I take a neder to give barzel to the Beis HaMikdash. So the question becomes what? You didn't quantify how much you're obligated to give. So now the question is, what is the basic amount that you're obligated to give to the Beis HaMikdash? Sarachirim on machirim say, lo yifchos me'ama al ama. You have to give at least an amma by amma size of metal, so which is pretty significant. So more so the maichazio. So why an amma piece? Listen to this. What is it usable for? Amar Rav Yosef lekal yo orev. it helps in order to create. Kalya Orev literally means a crow. Kalya means destroyer. Destroyer, and Orev means a crow. Or a crow destroyer. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, the Kalya Orev. Tablos shal amah hayu osin. On the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, they would make sheets or little pieces of metal. Vehein chadin kisakin svivosehen, umisamrim chadin bekulon, umichapin bahem gago shalheichal limnoa es ha'arvim eleshev. It's very interesting. It was any time you have a roof, there was a concern that what's going to happen? Crows are going to nest there. Now, obviously, if the crows nest there, there are two issues. First of all, there's the waste issue. And second of all, there's the noise issue. There's a noise issue. So what did they do on the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash? They essentially made pointed shingles. Pointed shingles that had sharp edges and had nails protruding from the actual top so that birds could not nest on top of the Beis HaMikdash. Interesting. To prevent the nesting. Alright? L'kaya orei. V'ikad amri. So therefore, again, Rabbos say, if one goes ahead and makes a neder to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, to give metal to the Beis HaMikdash, and they don't specify how much, they have to give at least an amma by amma sheet of metal, which is usable then for making one of these, we'll call it anti-crow shingles. So l'maycha, so amra, v'yosek, good, fine. V'ikad amri. Others say, achirim omrim, lo yivchos mikalya orei. Others just have a different phraseology of this. That if someone went ahead and pledged to give metal to the Beis HaMikdash, they can't give less than a crow destroyer. So the Gemara says, V'kaman, how much is a crow destroyer? Rav Yosef, Amma al Amma. That refers to an Amma by Amma piece. Nechoshes. If a person goes ahead and pledges to give Nechoshes to the Beis HaMikdash, then what? A person pledges to give copper to the Beis HaMikdash, then how much do you have to give? Sorry, lo yivchos mima'al kesef. A person should not give less than the equivalent of a ma'a of silver. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo yivchos mitzinura kitana nechoshes. Rabbi Eliezer says, a person should not give less than a tzinura kitana. Look at Rashi. Tzinura mazlek katan. A small fork. A small fork. Ke'en shetavin bozov. So if a person says they're going to give copper, you shouldn't give less than the amount necessary to make a small fork of copper. So the Gemara says, what are you going to use a small fork for in the Beis HaMikdash? You could use the small fork to trim the wicks of the menorah. Furthermore, you can also use the small forks to what? To get into the bowls of the menorah to clean out the leftover stuff. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. First one is trim the wicks, and second one is to clean out the bulbs. So the Gemara says over here that aloch lemaisef you have if you carry out rotted scrolls or rotted covers of scrolls that you're chayiv for carrying any amount because since any amount goes to the geniza, therefore by definition any small amount is chashav and therefore you be chayiv for otzal. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, mekek disifri. So Rabbi Yehuda just says there are different names for the worms that cause the rotting of different things. So for example, the word mekek is the type of worm that causes rotting disifri in scrolls of parchment. Tachach Dishiroi, tachach worms, ultimately cause the decomposition of silk. The ila, the envy, ila worms could often be found in grapes. Upe, the te'eni, and peh worms are often found in figs. So the Gemara says the following. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, mekak de sifri tachach de shiroi, kol ilu toloinim. These are all different types of worms. Shebechol minumin. V'chalukin b'shmosehen, and they are called different names, but the idea is that what? V'hadrimoni, or v'hadrimoni, and hey are the ones that are found in pomegranates, kulu sakanta, and all of them are dangerous, meaning if they're ingested, they could be fatal. So the Gemara tells a story, Ahu Talmida, Dehava Yosef Kameid Rabbi Yochanan. There was a particular student who was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Havi Ka'achal Tenin, he was eating dates. And what happened? Or eating figs, excuse me. Amar le Rebbe, kotzin yish b'te'inim. and the student said to Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, there are thorns in the date. Now, in reality, there weren't thorns in the date. Rashi says, Kotim Yishpateinim, Haya Tolas Yoshev Vinokev Bigrono. What he was actually feeling was apparently he ate some of the worms, and what he actually felt was the worms burrowing in his throat. That's what he felt. Rashi says, Vidomeshu Kotz, and he felt like he had swallowed a thorn. And Rebbe said, not to himself, not to the student, obviously, Amrle, Katla Peh Ledain. Nebuch, because the peh worm is going to kill this particular item. Rebbe understood that the student Nebuch was going to die because he had ingested these worms. Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi Kupas Rochlin, still with Hotzah. Last Mishnah of Hotzah. So we'll say, appreciate this. We're about to finish the parak of Hotzah. So Mamish, like, you have to savor this. It's going to be 7.5 years before you get back to this Mishnah of Hotzah. So says the Gemara, Hamotzi Kupas Haruchlin. If one who goes ahead and carries out, Kupas Haruchlin literally means a spice peddler's chest. Now, look what Rashi says over here. Rochlin, Mochre Bisamim L'Kishute Nashim. The Rochel, the spice peddler, was someone who specifically is burnt with these spices for cooking. He was a perfumer, right? If that's the right word, these spices were more used. These some were more used for perfume. So rochlin mochrei b'sam l'kishutei nashim ve'ishlan kupos ketanos l'tzoros b'sam. So you have to imagine him. So the spice peddler's chest, he would hold this chest or carry this chest, and when he would open up, what would he have? He'd have smaller sacks of little independent b'samim in it, little different perfumes within it. So if you carry kupas rochlin, alfa pishi yesh b'minin harbe. Here's the chat. When you carry the spice peddler's chest, even though what? Within the spice peddler's chest, you could have multiple other smaller containers of spices. If you carry it on Shabbos, you only chayiv what? You only chayiv once. Zerune gina. If you went ahead and, you only chayiv one chatas. Zerune gina. If you carry out seeds that he planted in a garden. So pachos mikrogeras. Right? You're chayiv if you carry a little bit less than the size of a grogeres, than the size of a dried fig. The idea is that normally the shear for oakling, the shear for food, as we've seen already, is grogeres. The seed is a little bit less. Seeds is a little bit less. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir says, chamisha. Right? Chamisha. You're chayiv if you carry five seeds. Says Rabbi Yehuda that apparently chamisha carrying five seeds is considered to be a significant amount. Zera kishuin. Correct, five or more. Right, obviously, if you carry more, you're chayiv. So the Gemara says, Zerek Yeshuin, if you went ahead and you carried out seeds, cucumber seeds, Shnayim, you're chayiv for carrying out two cucumber seeds. Zera Diluin, if you carry out, Diluin are gourds. If you carry out gourd seeds, then what? Shnayim, you're chayiv for carrying out two. Pul Hamitzri is some type of Egyptian bean. Shnayim, so apparently both say, in all of these cases, these items are more significant. Because they're more significant, people would even go ahead and plant even just two of these seeds at a time. And therefore, Allah says, if you carry out this amount, you're chayiv. Chagav chay, tahor, kolshu. If you have a live kosher grasshopper, you're chayiv for carrying out any amount. Meaning, no matter how small the grasshopper is, you're chayiv for that. Look at Rashi. Hamotzi chagav chay kolshu. Now, why are you chayiv for this? Shematznien oso lekatan lesachek bo. So apparently, again, you know, top 10 requested gifts in the times of the Mishnah was, you know, little Jimmy, little Chaim Yankel wants a live grasshopper. That's he wants. So children... Children would keep this. I guess kids were much easier to please in those times. So, I'm sorry. Very, very lifelike, right? Right. So they go. So you go ahead. Shematznino silakatan. So you're chayiv even if it's a small shear. Why? Because a child would often go ahead and keep this item to play with. Oh, we'll see what has to be kosher. So the Gemara says koshu mace. However, if the grasshopper is dead. I guess that was the cheap parents. Right? The cheap parents gave dead grasshoppers. So mace kigrogeres. Now I must say, obviously, if the grasshopper is dead, then it's ochel. Because we're talking about a kosher grasshopper over here. So then again, if it's dead, it has the din of an ochlim. And then if it's the din of an ochlim, it's kigrogeres. Then our lachmai says it's the shear of a dried fig, just like any other food items. Tziporis krumim, if you have literally, tziporis krumim literally means a bird of the vineyards. Now we'll discuss, interestingly enough, tziporis krumim itself is also a type of grasshopper. It's also a type of grasshopper. So bein chaya, bein mesa, whether it's alive or whether it's dead, kolshu, you're chayiv for carrying out any amount. Why? Shematznir osa lerefua. Because the apparently this type of grasshopper was significant because people used it for medicinal purposes. Therefore, even if it's dead, it's not governed by the shear of ochlin, and therefore you'd be chayiv for carrying any amount. Rabbi Hudom, Rabbi Hudom.
A lot of grasshoppers fly.
Good.
They fly, they actually fly.
So what does that have to do with this?
So
it's oh, so you call it tzipores. Good. Rabbi Hudom, Rabbi Hudom says, Af hamotzi chagav chai tome kolshu. Rabbi Huda, now we're both remember, the Tanakhama, according to the Tanakhama only spoke about a kosher grasshopper. For living grasshoppers, the Tanakhama only spoke about a living grasshopper. And a kosher grasshopper. Let me say differently. When it came to a living grasshopper, the Tanakhama only spoke about a kosher one. So the Tanakhama says if you have a kosher live grasshopper, no matter how small or big it is, you're chayif for carrying out on Shabbos. Comes along Rabbi Huda says, Af hamotzi chagav chai tome kosher. Rabbi Huda says, even if you carry out a non-kosher living grasshopper, you're chayiv for any, if, no matter how big or small it is on Shabbos. Why? Shematznin osa lekat l'schopo, because people would also give those to their kids to play with. Fine, we'll see what the machlokes in the Gemara. Or many, the Gemara says the following, Zevel v'chol hadak, if you go and you carry out zevel as fertilizer, chol hadak is fine sand, which is also used for fertilizer, kedei lezabel klach shel kruv. You're chayiv if you carry out enough to do what? To even fertilize one little stalk of cabbage. Divi Rabbi Akiva, v'chamru v'cham say, kedei lezabel kresha, even if you only carry out enough to fertilize one leek. Then I will say, what's the kasha over here? The Mishnah said that in order to be chayiv for seeds, you have to go ahead and carry out at least what? At least five, we'll call it. At least five. The Brice over here seems to say that what? That for fertilizer, you're chayiv for fertilizing even just one seed. So we see that even one seed is significant in halacha. If that's the case again, then why only chayiv carry out five seeds? So the Gemara gives the same answer as it gave by the dyes in the previous sugya. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa hadizriya hadilozriya. Says, there's a distinction. It's apples and oranges. The Bryce is talking about items that are already planted. Once an item is already planted, then yes, even one seed is significant. But before the items have been planted, people are not matriach themselves to what? To just plant one seed. And therefore, because of that, if you're going to carry seeds out on Shabbos, you're only chayiv if you carry out the amount that a person would normally take the time to plant. So the Mishnah says, what's the amount of seeds that a person would take the time to plant? Five seeds is the minimum. Once it's planted in Achiyami, even one seed becomes significant, and therefore the shear for fertilizer will be what? Even the amount to fertilize enough for one seed.
Maybe you need to plant multiple seeds to get one viable plant.
I'm sorry?
Maybe you need to plant multiple seeds.
It could be. Whatever the reason, it's clear, they're not just planting one seed. So the words are the following. Zerik Yishuin. So we got to both say, as much as we just said that, obviously there were some plants that were more chashuv, that even if you carry out a smaller amount of seeds, you're chayiv. So for example, if you went ahead and you carried out two cucumber seeds, you're chayiv. So the Gemara says, Tana Abanan, Hamotzi Garinin, if a person carries out, Garinin are pits, right? They're pits. So a person carries out pits on Shabbos. In the Netiyah, if you're carrying out the pits, if the pits are set aside for planting purposes, then you're chayiv shtayim. Excuse me. In the Netiyah shtayim, not chayiv shtayim. Then if you carry out two pits, you're chayiv. You're chayiv because that's considered to be a significant shear. A person will plant two pits. In la achila, however, if the pits are going to be used for achila, kimali pichazin. I will say, bepashas, they're not really going to be used for eating of people, but that sounded wrong. Right? They're not going to be used for human consumption, but rather they're going to be used to feed animals. So how much is considered to be a significant amount for achila? Kimali pichazin. Enough to literally one mouthful for a pig. Such a tzaddik, right? Vekama mali pichazir, and how much is a pig's mouth full? Achos is only one pit. Im lahasik, and was interestingly enough, another use for pits apparently was also to go ahead and kindle a fire. You could use it for fuel for a fire. Kedei levashel beit sakala. Enough pits to go ahead and kindle a fire to cook a very easily cooked egg. We always go back. Apparently, the egg is always used for just the simplest item to cook. In lecheshbo, and if you're going to use it for accounting purposes. Now, why would you use it for accounting purposes? So Rashi points out over here something very interesting. He says, if you look cheshbon, l'cheshbon kimosh nosnim the simon edus the chol dinar pashad. So if a person is counting a large number of items, so instead of keeping track of the exact number, each pit will represent a certain unit. A certain unit. So each pit will represent 5 coins, whatever it is. If you're going to say, if you're using cheshbon, if you're using it for cheshbon, then shtayim, then aloch lamaisi chayif for carrying out 2 pits. Achirim omrim chamish, others say 5. Fine. Tan rabbanon, hamoti shnei nimin mizanav hasus. If a person carries out 2 hairs from the tail of a horse, umizanav hapara, or from the tail of a cow, chayif. Who would be chayif? Why? Shematznian osam nishbin. Because 2 hairs are significant. Because what can you do with two hairs from the tail of a horse or from the tail of a cow? You keep it in the nishbin. Rashi says nishbin, latsud ofos. You could use these 2 hairs to go ahead and create a trap to trap birds. Okay. Miksha shel chazir. So too, if you use the miksha of a chazir. What's a miksha of a chazir? Look at Rashi. Neimin kashin shebeseder shel chazir. So apparently these are the very spiky hairs that are on the back, on the spine of a pig. So you're chayiv if you carry out. Achos, right? You're chayiv if you carry out. I'm sorry, I just lost the place over here. Miksha shel chazir, achos, right? You are chayiv if you go out and you carry out one of these spiky hairs. Now, what can you do with one of these spiky hairs? So Rashi points out over here, achos, dechazia lo'ushpachi, loseis birosh hamashicha shel tfira. You can use it as a needle for sewing. Apparently, again, these hairs were so sharp that you can use it as a needle for sewing. See, even 1 hair is considered to be significant. Tzuri dekel, if you go ahead and you have tzuri dekel. So tzuri dekel are palm fronds. Palm fronds, tzuri dekel, shtayim. You're chayiv if you go ahead and you carry out 2. Now look at Rashi. Tzuri dekel, lishnei batei nirin. I'm sorry, nitzurin kalufim, la'asos solid. So apparently palm fronds can be used to create palm baskets. So how many, right? So if you have 2 of them, shtayim, lishnei batei nirin. So if you go ahead and you have at least 2 palm fronds, that allows you to create a crisscross pattern. And therefore, that's the beginning of a basket. Turi dekel, we'll see again, are palm vines. We've seen this before, I've also a number of different times, that the vines grow around the base of the tree. So what are palm? So even if you have 1 palm vine, carry out 1 vine, you're chayiv for that on Shabbos. And interestingly enough, Rashi points out over here, turi dekel, dokin mitzurei hein, vehein min hasiv hagedol svivosam. This is the vine that grows along the base of the palm tree, and Rashi says, v'lo yadati l'may chazi. Rashi says, I have no idea what they're used for. I will say, the truth is, we actually saw one of the things that the palm that they're used for is it's actually the inside of the vines. We saw some type of woolly substance in it that we saw was used for hatmana, for insulation purposes earlier, but I guess Rashi didn't know what the vine itself is used for. Fine, but Shechayif for carrying out 1. Siporis kramim, bein chaya bein mesa kolshu. So if you carry out this siporis kramim, which is this type of locust, this type of grasshopper, whether it's alive or whether it's dead, you're chayiv for carrying out any amount. So the Gemara says, my tziporis kramim. What is this tziporis kramim? Amarav, palya bi'iri. Okay, so another one of these translations, I guess, that helps for them, Rashi says, palya bi'iri kach shmo. This was the more conventional name, the more well-known name, palya bi'iri. Fine. Amarav, baye. So Abaye says the following, mishtachach bedikla dechad navro. Or Navarro. So Abaye says you could find this tziporis kramim, this palya bi'iri, in this dikla bechad navro. Now look at Rashi. What does that mean? Bechad navro, bedikli bechad navro, bedekel bachor, a young palm tree. Shelo nichrach adayin ele besiv echad shegadol sivosa bekarcho. How can you tell a palm tree is young? It only has 1 vine that surrounds its base. I guess as the palm grows older, more vines grow. So Abaye says, you could find the siporis kramim in this young vine, bedikla dechad navro, v'avdi la l'chuchma. Now, why do people eat the siporis kramim? Apparently, it's good for wisdom. It's good for wisdom. Rashi says, l'chuchma liftoach halev. I don't know. It could be that it's an attention enhancing item that it help people concentrate. Literally, it opened one's heart to wisdom. It allowed people to, for whatever reason, to have a more open mind to absorbing wisdom. Fine. So how do you use this tziporis kramim? Achil leila palgodi yamine. you go ahead and you eat the right half of it. You split it in half, you eat the right half of it. Upalga dismale, and you take the left part of it. Rami la begufsa dinuchusha. And you put it in a copper tube. You put it in a copper tube. Vechosimle, and you seal the tube. Vishisin gushpanki. With 60 seals. Now, again, whenever you see 60 seals, 60 seals never means 60 seals. What it means is what? Seal it well. Seal it well. V'talila be'ivra dismala. And you should suspend the copper tube that has the left side of this locust that's sealed up from your left arm. V'simanich, and the simon is, leiv chacham liyamino, leiv ksil lismolo. The heart of the wise man is to his right, and the heart of the fool is to his left. The chachim, and you'll become very smart, kamad de boy, as much as you want. So apparently, I will say again, the Gemara is not suggesting that by eating this item you become smart, but for whatever reason, it was felt that this process opens one's mind up to absorb wisdom in a greater fashion. Okay, the Gemara kula, the Gemara kama de boy, and at that moment when your mind is open, you can learn as much as you want. The achile liidach palga, but you have to also eat the other left half. The I lo meakar tamuda, because if you don't eat the left half, then ultimately any learning that one absorbs, will subsequently be forgotten. So the Marashah, Rabosa, is a whole discussion. That's not for today, but the Marashah is a whole discussion. What exactly is going on with these things? So again, we see many of these practices that people felt were relevant. Again, it wasn't a din of nechosh; it's not a din of divination, but these are things that people felt worked in order to go ahead and enhance one's ability to absorb and retain knowledge. Rabbi Huda Omer, Af Hamotzi. Rabbi Huda says the following. Rabbi Huda, remember again, there's a machlokis in the Mishnah. There's a machlokis in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama held that if you carry out a living kosher grasshopper, that you're chayiv for carrying out any amount. Rabbi Yehuda felt that you're chayiv even for carrying a living non-kosher grasshopper. So the Gemara says the following. The Tanakhama sover lo. According to the Tanakhama doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning that you can't go ahead and the Tanakhama holds that halacha lemaisa, you would not keep a living non-kosher grasshopper. Why not? My taima, dilma achile. Because the Tanakhama would be concerned about is, you may come to eat it. You may come to eat it. And especially, again, if this is an item given to children, then halacha lemaisa, the child may come to eat it. So the Gemara says, ihachi tahor nami. I see, interestingly enough, if there's a concern that the child is going to go ahead, look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'tanakama sover, chagav tamei, lo mitzna inalei lakatan l'sachid. So the Tanakama holds that parents don't give their children non-kosher grasshoppers to play with. Why? Rashi says, Dilma achil, v'afilu leman de'amar katan ochel nevelos, ein bezin mitzuvan alav la'frisho. So we'll say, even according to the opinion who holds, that if, let's say, a child, is eating non-kosher food items. So there is an opinion that holds that it's a kid. You don't have to worry about what the kid is doing. Bezin doesn't have to, it literally means bezin, doesn't have to get involved and stop the child from doing it. But even that opinion would agree, modahu delo yahavina le biadayim. Desanya lo sochlum lo sa'achilum lahasir gedol ma'akitanim. See, even the opinion who holds that if you see a child eating non-kosher items, that you don't have to actively stop the child from doing it, would still nevertheless agree that what? You shouldn't give it to the kid. Shouldn't give it to the kid. So Tanakhama apparently holds that a parent is not going to give the child a non-kosher grasshopper to play with. Why? Because ultimately there's a fear that the child's going to come to eat it. So the Gemara says, if that's the concern, ihachi tahar nami. If that's the case, that you're concerned about the child eating the grasshopper, then you shouldn't even give the child a live grasshopper to play with. Now, why? What's the shot? Live grasshopper is kosher. The grasshopper clearly doesn't need shechita. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Daha, look at Rashi, ihachi tar, chai nami, dilma achile, v'im yishum de'in bo isra evar min achai, dechagav ein ton shechita, ispe, miha mishum bal tashat. So look at Rashi. So look at the Gemara. Ihachi tar nami, daha Rav Kahana, hava koim kami derav. Rav Kahana was one standing before Rav, v'hava kama aver shoshiva apumei. And what happened? And Rav Kahana was right about to put a shoshiva. Shoshiva, as she says, is a type of kosher grasshopper. He was about to put a shoshiva in his mouth. Amr Le, Rav said to him, Shakle, take it away. Why? Delo lemru, mechol ka'ochile. Because people shouldn't say that, you're eating this insect. The ka'avar mishum bal teshaktu esnaf shoseichem. So amazingly enough, he said, So Rav stopped him from eating the live grasshopper. Out of the fact, it's really a din in maris ayin. Really a din in maris ayin. That people will see it and they'll think that you're eating creepy, crawly things. People don't necessarily know that what it is that you're eating is a kosher grasshopper that doesn't eat shechita. What are people going to see? That you're holding this thing that's moving around and you're about to put it in your mouth. So Rav says again, it doesn't look right. It doesn't look appropriate. Right, people will think that you're being over about the shasu, meaning literally making yourself disgusting, which is a reference to ingesting insects. Ella, so the Gemara says Ella. So therefore, I will say again. So if the Tanakama is concerned about the fact that the child is going to eat a non-kosher, is going to eat his pet. Right, the parent's going to give him a living locust, and the kid's going to eat it. And therefore, the Tanakama says, "Oh, that's why you don't want you giving your kid a non-kosher grasshopper." The concern should even apply even by a kosher grasshopper. Why? Because this kid, we said, we don't even eat live kosher grasshoppers. So the Gemara says, "Ella Dilma Mayis V'Ochile." Rather, what the concern is that no, even if you give your kid, right, even if you go ahead and you give the kid the non-kosher grasshopper, that what's going to happen, even if it's dead, this kid may still come to eat it. That's the Tanakama's concern. Tanakama, the kid may come to eat something non-kosher. I said, why does Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have that concern? Rabbi Yehuda, imayis, listen to this, it's interesting. If the grasshopper dies, imayis, katan misbad sapidle. The katan will eulogize it. Now, what does Rabbi Huda say? That a child develops a connection. Rabbi Huda is not concerned that the kid's going to eat the pet. Why? Because children develop a natural connection to their pet. So the point is, Rabbi Huda says, v'haraya, when the pet dies, even at that point where it's actually permitted for consumption, what does the child do? So we know, right, if your kid has ever had a pet, so mamish, right, everybody assembles around the toilet bowl before you flush it down, right? I'm saying, the child develops a connection to the item. So if Rabbi Huda holds, I'm not concerned the child's going to eat it living, and I'm not concerned the child's going to eat it even if it's dead. Therefore, Rabbi Huda holds that halacha lemaisa, so Tanakama holds that we're concerned that a child is going to end up eating the non-kosher one when it dies. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that concern doesn't apply, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the parents would end up giving their child a grasshopper, either a kosher or a non-kosher, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you carry out, whether it be the living grasshopper or dead grasshopper, kosher or not kosher, you'd be chayav on Shabbos. Hadron Aloch, Amar Rabbi Akiva. We'll say we begin our shiur in rooms 2 and 3.